Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Ephesians chapter 1. In verse 1, the Word of God says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul is referring to himself according to that which God had placed him into. God had a calling for Paul. And Paul is talking to God out of that calling. Paul is not talking to God as just, here I am, God, it's just me, this guy. Now, Paul is coming to God in his identity with a great deal of confidence toward what God had put him into. God, this is what you did, and so this is what I'm bringing to you. God, this is what you called me into, and on that basis, I'm coming to you. And this is what you did in Christ. Because when it's talking about in Christ, he's talking about his position. Saying, because of my position, you have brought me into this high and holy calling. Now, it wasn't my experience. Your experience will never disqualify or qualify you for your calling. How many people think to themselves, I can't operate in that kind of a call because look at me. Look how I fall short. Look how insufficient I am. Look how inept. Look at what a mess I am. Well, David was called to be the king of Israel and his life was a train wreck. Folks, your sufficiency, your ability, the characteristics of your life, even your character, does not qualify or disqualify you from being called by God. What qualifies you is your position in Christ. Because that is, in fact, how God sees you. Everything else is just details. When a person takes on a job, for example, they go working for a new company, they're not going to know all the details from the get-go. There's going to be time given to them to figure out the details, to learn. When a person enters into a call of God, they're not going to know all the details from the get-go. God will provide opportunity for them to learn how to operate in the call of God. Never condemn yourself or try to disqualify yourself in your own mind because of your own shortcomings. If you're going to do that, not one of us is qualified for absolutely anything. So don't even go there. Just take that pile and pitch it. Because it really has no place. It's not a consideration. It's not even relevant. Your shortcomings or whatever you have, your faults, your insecurities, whatever you have that you see yourself as not being up to par in, just pitch it. Get it out of your thinking and simply follow the call of God. Whatever that call happens to be. And if you feel insufficient for that call, don't start worrying about your own ability because you have none. And you never will. But that's okay because it's God who's doing it, not you. So you don't need any. Paul was called to be an apostle, a master builder of people's faith, of people, by the position that he had in Christ. And that was the only thing that Paul needed to enter that call, was position in Christ. That means that every born-again believer has the same qualifications that Paul the apostle had. Paul was not disqualified by the fact that he had been a mass murderer when he was Saul before he was saved. Nothing before he was saved was even considered by God. Paul's education was not even considered by God. And Paul said he counts it all but lost. He said it's one big pile of dung. That education that Paul had before his salvation was meaningless in Paul's own estimation, because it had no place in qualifying him for the call of God. Now, does that mean that Paul never got to utilize his education? No. Paul talked about the Scriptures all the time. He was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was educated by Gamaliel. He had the best education going. He knew the Scriptures inside and out. But in his natural ability and in his natural mind, that was nothing. The only thing that mattered at all was the position that he had before God. The only thing that matters at all in your life is the position you have before God. Whether things are big or small to you, whether you messed it up or got it right, whether you failed or not failed, that's all irrelevant. God doesn't even look at that. It's not on the resume. The only thing on the resume is accepted in the Beloved, washed in the blood, born anew. There's your qualifications. That's the only qualification God is looking for. Because God isn't looking for someone to do something. God is simply looking for us to be an available vessel. And then He fills that vessel. So don't worry about what you can or can't do. Be an available vessel. And then He can do with that vessel what He chooses. You know what's funny? In my house, I have a glass, and sometimes I put water in it. But not always. Sometimes I'll put milk in it. Or sometimes I put tea in it or soda. And the strange thing is, it's just a glass. You know why I do that? Because it's available. Folks, it doesn't matter what the glass is made of, it's all made of glass. I have this one glass, it's nice and smooth, but I have this other glass that's got like, I don't know, like little bumps on it. You know, like these little glass bumps. It's kind of like designed that way, and you can't see through it as well. And then I have another glass that has like lines going down it. And you know what's amazing to me? I can put water or milk or tea or a juice or soda in any of them. Isn't that like bizarre? Isn't that just the craziest thing? I have this cup that has a little crack in it, but I really like the cup. And so I use it anyway. You know, because it's like one of my favorite cups, so I use it anyway. And I just, you know, when I drink, I just don't drink over the crack. I just turn the cup around. But I like that cup, and you know, okay, so the crack is there, but I like the cup. And I fill it up with whatever I want anyway. Folks, be an available vessel. Don't try to be anything else. Just be an available vessel. Because if you're an available vessel, God can do anything He wants with you. There is a cup also in my house. It's behind a bunch of other things in the cupboard. Right? And it's like way towards the back in the corner. And it's hard to get to. And I don't use that. I think it's been sitting there for I don't know how long, and I don't use that because it's hard to reach it. It's not so available. Folks, be an available vessel. All that is required for you to be used by God is your availability. Nothing else is required. You don't have to be without cracks or without chips. Just be an available vessel. Don't worry about how well you think you're able to do whatever it is that you set out to do, whatever it is that God puts in front of you. Don't sweat your ability. Because God's not looking for your ability. By being an available vessel, you already have the ability for the plan that God has for you. So be an available vessel. Now, sometimes, if you're cooking and you have a glass and it's available, you don't pour milk or water or tea. You might pour some oil in it. Right? Or you might pour some flour in your cup. Right? Because I need here's an available cup and it's a cup. I'll pour some flour in the cup. Or maybe I'll put some raw eggs in there because I need a vessel and you beat up the eggs. That sounds bad. But you know what I'm saying. It's still an available vessel. The same cup that was made apparently for one thing can be used for another. Folks, don't worry how it is that God is going to use you. Let God choose what He does in your life. You just be an available vessel. And maybe you're a cup that has water in it and everything's going to be perfectly hunky-dory for you, making all the sense in the world. Or maybe He's going to be beating some eggs in you. But whatever it is, you're fulfilling God's purpose. Whatever it is, that's the plan of God in your life. Whatever it is, that's the call, that's the desire that God had for you. And you serve that purpose well by being an available vessel. Now, the cup doesn't beat the egg. Somebody else does that. The cup just is used. As vessels, we don't try to figure out how we're going to be used and then how to accomplish it. We just are available. And when we are available, God accomplishes in us that which He desires. Folks, we are put here for His good pleasure. And He will work His good pleasure in our lives. Just be an available vessel. The vessel that's not available won't be used. And the vessel may say, oh, I can't be available. It is like so. I can't be available. My time is like this. I can't be available. I am like so. And so they withdraw into the back corner somewhere so they won't be used. And they're not. They're still a vessel. Just without purpose. They were made for a purpose, but it never experiences its purpose. So be an available vessel. Don't ask, how are you going to use me, cup owner? Cup owner says, I'm going to use you any way that I want. Sometimes I'll put pencils in you. Is that going to be okay with you if you're not used for milk but pencils? For some people, that would be good. Milk doesn't work for them. But what if it's that which works for you? And God says, no, I'm going to do this other thing with you. Are you going to be available to that? You see, I don't decide how I am used. I don't decide the plan for my life. The one who owns me, who made me, the one who designed me, that's the one that chooses how to fill me. Paul was called an apostle because he was available. He had a position in Christ and he was available. He could have just as easily been the janitor somewhere. And it would have been just as valuable. Because it was God who was filling that vessel. It wasn't Paul's choice. It was God's choice. It wasn't Paul's ability. It was God's ability. All that the cup does is become available. You know, it's kind of funny. Like sometimes there's a cup and maybe I don't know, like maybe I'll put it on the counter instead of washing it and putting it away. And I just like, I'm in a hurry or something, I had tea in it and I put it on the counter and it's, I'll get to it in just a minute and then I forget about it. And then later, maybe I'll put like milk in it. You know, the fact that the vessel was a little bit contaminated with tea on the inside didn't change the fact that it was still just as easily able to hold the milk. That which took place before has no bearing on that which God will use you for now. Okay, do you understand that? That which took place before has no bearing on what God will do with you now. You just be an available vessel. Your availability is your choice. Your qualification is the finished work. But your availability is your choice. When I am an available vessel, I experience God's faithfulness. Now, the will of God is kind of a strange thing. Sometimes we think of the will of God as orders from the general. Okay? This is what the general said, this is what we will therefore do. The will of God, orders from the general. But that's not the will of God. That's not how it works. The will, in Ephesians 1:1, that's the word thaumatos. And it's will not to be conceived of as a demand. Now, a general gives a demand. But God's will is not God's demand. We think of it as God's demand, but it's not. What it is an expression or inclination of pleasure toward that which is liked. You understand? The will of God is an expression or the inclination of pleasure toward that which is liked. This is much different than the world thinks about it. That which pleases and it creates joy, that's the will of God. When it denotes God's will, it signifies His gracious disposition towards something. It's what God Himself does of His own good pleasure. In other words, if I have a cup, I use it because I want to. I do for it with it something because I want to. You know, it's funny. There are some cups that I like and some cups that are like, eh, they're there. But I have this one cup, it's a blue cup. And I have this cup and I just like it. I can't tell you why. There's no particular reason for me to like it. I just like it. And so I had this blue cup and I put everything in it except for pencils and eggs and flour. But like milk, water, tea, the whole nine yards, it goes in that blue cup. Why? Because I like that cup. We are the beloved of God. We are used by God. We have a will of God imparted to us. Because, one, we are available, and two, He loves to do stuff for us. See, the will of God is not what I'm going to do. The will of God is what God's going to do for me. The will of God is that which He seeks to bless me with. The will of God is that which He knows will edify me. Now, I don't know always what will edify me. I might get a cheeseburger and it'll give me heartburn. That's not very edification. But God knows what causes heartburn, spiritually speaking, and in my life in general. So So that which will edify me, notice I relate everything to food. This is interesting. This is why we find our way through supermarkets. Yeah, you gotta go somewhere, find the supermarket. You know, I went to false, never mind, that's not gonna. The will of God is there to give him a way to bless me. But I don't always know what will bless me. I may think I do. But indigestion can be rough sometimes. And then I'll say, ooh, I wish I hadn't eaten that. Anybody ever been in a situation? No, show of hands. Oh, I wish I hadn't eaten that. I get there. But the will of God is not like that. The will of God knows what will bless me. The will of God knows what will produce joy in my heart. God knows how to use me just right. And God knows how to make it edifying. Sometimes He has to build the pot a little bit so that you can use it in its fullness. The will of God will do that as well. All I need to be is an available vessel for the will of God. When I become an available vessel, I start to operate in grace. In verse 2 of Ephesians 1. I start to experience that three dimensions, those three dimensions of grace. I start to operate both in its unmerited divine favor and in its government and in the kindness of God. So I start to experience the fullness of grace as I'm operating as an available vessel. When I operate in the fullness of grace, peace is developed in my heart. Because I know that whatever takes place, none of it is dependent on me and none of it requires my abilities. But I'm operating in a kingdom of grace, and in that kingdom I find all the resources of a kingdom. In that kingdom I find all the provisions, the protection. In that kingdom I find not only the government, but also the support. It's funny how kingdoms work. On one hand there is a government. On the other hand, in a place that has a healthy establishment of national entity, that government is not there to harm but to serve. And so it establishes things like protection and provision. It establishes things for my benefit. And it also establishes order in my life. That comes by being an available vessel. Because then God sets me where He will and uses me in the way that He desires. And in that desired will of His, I find pleasure. When that takes place, peace happens in my heart. Why? Because you ever notice that when you're operating outside of the will of God, it's actually quite hard. When you're operating outside of the will of God, you're always fighting the conviction. You're operating in the will of God, outside the will of God, you're always having to actively quench the Holy Spirit, or at least to grieve Him. And there's no peace in the heart. There's always a little bit of turmoil. There's always a little bit of insecurity, a little bit of fear associated to stepping outside the will of God. Stepping outside of being an available vessel. When I'm operating the government of grace, I have great peace. This is why Psalm said, great peace have they that love thy word. Why? Because the word produces that government. And I'm immovable because I'm well protected. And what's well protected about me is, yes, my body, my physical being, presence, the things that I have are protected by God unless God sovereignly brings a trial into my life. But also my mind is protected. And in that protection I have great peace. The safest place to be, both externally and inwardly, is an available vessel in the perfect will of God. There is no place safer or more satisfying on earth than that. Just an available vessel in the perfect will of God. There is no anxiety or strife or trepidation in those things. There's great peace. When I get to this point, the Word of God says in Hebrews 12:28, that we receive a kingdom that cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. In other words, I am an available vessel. And there's a place for me in the kingdom. And I am an available vessel. And I'm immovable. Because the only thing that moves a vessel is not the vessel, and it's not what is contained in it. It's the one who filled it. That's the one who moves the vessel. So I don't try to move myself. That doesn't produce great peace. I'm simply available. And in that availability, God uses me. You see, He already loves the vessel. He already favors the vessel. And now He fills and uses the vessel. Because the vessel was available and it already belonged to the kingdom. Amen.